This morning we're going to look at the athletic imagery of the Apostle Paul and how he used it in Scripture. Hebrews 12:1 tells us, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." And again, in Philippians 2:16, he said, "Holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain, nor toil in vain." The imagery of the fact that the Christian life is a marathon and not a series of sprints. Galatians 2:2 says, "It was because of a revelation that I went up and I submitted to them the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. But I did so in private to those who were of reputation, for fear that I might be running or had run in vain. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith." So throughout the writings of the Apostle Paul, he uses the picture of the athlete to tell us this is how we're to live our Christian lives. He said in 1 Corinthians 9, 24-26, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box," another athletic terminology, "in such a way as not beating the air." We have to be careful and not putting too much emphasis on the physical, our physical training and abilities, to the neglect of our spiritual. Amen. How much time, and that's one of the factors in living here and going to a gym that's 20 or so miles away. It takes time. And to be spiritually fit also takes time and effort. James reminds us in chapter 4, verse 14, that our life is a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. So we need to realize that while there's some importance and some benefits to physical exercise, that the spiritual is so much more important, because as Hebrews 9:27 says, "It is appointed for men once to die, and after this there's judgment." So many verses about the physical importance, but then the spiritual. "Do you not know," Paul said, "that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you're not your own? We've been bought with a price," the Bible said. The blood of Jesus paid for us. And we're a part of this body, but the Holy Spirit indwells our bodies. And I guess we get to choose what kind of a body he gets to dwell in. For a while, anyway. You know, my dad would tell me about his muscles starting to deteriorate as he got older. And so sometimes I think that just going to the gym keeps us where we are and not so much losing what we could lose. But our body's a temple, and God dwells in our bodies. And then we're reminded in Romans 12:1, where Paul says, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." And I always wondered, why the body? Why does God want my body? I suppose wherever my body goes, my spirit tags along, doesn't it? So that's one point. You know, people say about coming to church, "Well, I can't be there, but I'll be with you in spirit." You know, usually the body stays with the spirit. There's not, you know, part of you can't be here and your body somewhere else. We go where our bodies are. So the body is important to the Lord. An athlete, we're reminded, has to watch his diet. An athlete must get the right amount of sleep. An athlete must put in demanding and difficult training. An athlete must sacrifice time. An athlete must be totally committed. I really enjoy watching the World Cup soccer matches. And I particularly like watching our women's team play. Mia Hamm, for a long time, was my favorite and probably still would be. But in 2015, Carly Lloyd, if you remember from a few years back, she got the ball almost at half field, dribbled to the half field marker, saw that the goalie was standing out by the front of the box, and shot a goal in the World Cup over the head of the goalie, her third goal of that game. So it's very interesting. And I think I like women's soccer, especially the USA team, because we score a lot of goals. And I'm used to seeing a lot of points being scored. But that was a special shot. And after that, they had an article about Carly on the internet that I read. And it talked about her dedication. And it said, while her family was having Thanksgiving dinner, her coach had her out on the practice field. And the desire, the determination, the dedication, and the delight in soccer motivated her. So while others were enjoying dinner, she was out there practicing for a time. When she would look up and see the goalie at the front of the goalie box, and that she would be able to score from half field. And she actually practiced that shot just for that occasion. And she scored. Incredible. You have to have the desire to be the best. You have to have the determination to set your heart on being the best. You have to have the discipline to put the effort into what you're seeking to do for the Lord. And then to delight, to understand the greatness of being the best. Saint Jerome said, and this was way back before motivational speaking, good, better, best, never let it rest till your good is better. And your better is best. I read Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2 for our call to worship this morning. Just to remind you, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race set before us. Therefore, the Bible scholars tell us if we come across that word, we should ask ourselves what it's there for. And we realize that chapter 12 follows that great, great chapter 11, the Hall of Faith, where so many people are memorialized because they lived by faith. But as you look at chapter 11, you have to realize that these people were all in there, not for the same reason. Adam and Abraham were in there because they had great faith. But they weren't in there for the same reason. And I want us to understand that today, too. I went golfing 4 times this year. Dan went once. Craig went 3 times. So we went, the last time we went golfing was at the Sagamore up at Lake George. And we'd gotten the ticket from the rescue mission at one of the dinners. And we decided, since we'd only been out a few times, that we'd have our own special rules for that day. I'm thinking about making them permanent because I had a lot of fun. Wherever your ball landed, you could tee it up. That one rule just changes the whole game. The course was so fine, we didn't want to send divots all over the place either. But we had a great time. And when we went out, we didn't have competition between us. We just went out because we enjoy golf. And I think that's what we want to do with the Christian life this morning. That while we can have examples, like we read about in Hebrews chapter 11, or while we should have examples of people in our lives who are living the Christian life, we're not to try to be exactly like them. Abraham didn't copy Adam. They didn't try to copy Enoch or anyone else in the Hall of Faith. God had a goal for them, a purpose for them, as he has a purpose for each one of us. And he's saying there's a whole crowd of witnesses. I'm tempted to think it's these people in chapter 11 and perhaps other believers that we've known who are watching us from heaven saying, you go, you get to that goal that God has for you as a source of encouragement. And so take off the weight that holds you back. You know, can you imagine fighting a fight with your hands tied behind your back? Or running a race when your shoelaces are tied together? No, we're not. We're supposed to make our best effort and to take away all those things that would slow us down and keep running the race. I think that's what he's trying to tell us here, that each Christian has a unique gift and a unique calling, and that we should be encouraging each other. And then the next verse says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So our eyes are not to be on each other, but they're to be on Jesus. Now, we're never going to measure up. I think it was Barry Wenchel, who we had here a few weeks ago, that was talking about golf. He said, what would Jesus do if he were golfing? Probably a hole in one on every hole. You know, you can't get more perfect than that. You know, but we strive. Even when we tee it up on the fairway, we're striving to be the best that we can be. And as a Christian, for me too, if there's anything in my life that's slowing me down, hindering me, he talks here about the sin that so easily besets us. And we all probably have at least one. You know, we face that temptation more than any other temptation in our life. And we have to deal with it more than any other sin in our life. He says, put it aside and go on. Keep on track with where the Lord is leading you. Fix your eyes on Jesus. And he says, consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. How many of you know who Victor is? Nobody? He's a Slavonian ski jumper. Rings no bells? He was not the thrill of victory. He was the agony of defeat in ABC's Wide World of Sports. Do you remember what he was known for? He didn't even make it off the end of the ski jump in 1970. Remember, he was cartwheeling off with the skis flying all over the place? He was going to the hospital. And he said in that broken Eastern European accent, I'll be back. Ring a bell now? He actually did say that. The 20th anniversary. He had no idea how popular he was in America. He was one of the most popular athletes in our country, and he was invited back to the 20th anniversary of the wide world of sports. And they were lining up to get his autograph. Muhammad Ali was the first one who wanted his autograph. And he had no idea that his image was being used week by week by ABC. There's going to be times when we have failures in our lives, where we're going to be like Vinko. Now he spends his time painting. And I think that we, as Christians, can learn a great lesson to go back to it. If we fall and if we fail, to always get back to where we were and doing what God wants us to do. Down in Cooperstown at the Hall of Fame, I used to take friends there when they would visit me in Morris. There's a picture of Billy Sunday and a little caption of how he turned from baseball to the Lord and became an evangelist. He said, "Stopping at third adds no more score than striking out. It doesn't matter how well you start if you fail to finish." It's a good quote. So how often we strike out. Another good baseball analogy, Babe Ruth, who had a lot more strikeouts than home runs. There are obstacles in Christian living. There are things that will make us grow weary and lose heart. There are obstacles of our own making, our own limitations or shortcomings. We all have them, but we can't let that stop us. There's obstacles from our own team. Challenges arise in the midst of good teams. The conflict during the off-season of football between Brady and Belichick on the Patriots takes time to work out those struggles. Then there's obstacles from the opposition. Satan, our greatest opponent. The Bible says our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Our unseen enemy is the most difficult. But verse 2 there in Hebrews chapter 12 says, "Fix your eyes not on your shortcomings, not on your weaknesses, not on your limitations." It says, "Fix your eyes on Jesus." So let's commit ourselves to our workout, to studying the Word of God, to praying ourselves into the presence of God, deepening our fellowship with other believers, being and making disciples, worshiping God for all we're worth, witnessing to the lost as if their lives depended on it, because they do. We are to be in training. We are to be doing those things that will make us strong in this world for Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for using these athletic analogies to remind us that this Christian life is sometimes difficult, challenging. And yet, Lord, by your grace, we are up to the challenge. So bless us, Lord, if we're starting out, if we're on our way, or if we're getting ready to finish the course. Help us to remember it's all about fixing our eyes upon you and doing those essential things that will make us stronger in Christ Jesus. So bless us, Father, as we do these things in Jesus' name. Amen.